What does that sentence imply? We've changed. Now, most of the people in this audience probably will not be familiar with this phrase that was used in a song. Does anybody remember a song with this? Barbara Streisand, "The Way We Were." And what reason I said most of you won't know it is because it was sang in the 1960s, maybe 1970. So Jason didn't mean to date you, but I'm dated as well. But she was a very popular singer in that period of time, and we're going to incorporate this song theme into what we're going to talk about today. In 1492, Columbus sailed the blue. But can you prove it? That's what we're taught in the history books. But did you see it? No, I didn't. I knew who Barbara Streisand was, but I don't think I ever knew Columbus. I am an old man. But our world history books say it's so, so it must be right, right? If it's on the internet, it must be true, right? Did you know that up until 1990 that you couldn't buy an accurate map of the streets of the city of Moscow because the government would not allow an accurate map to be printed in case there was war? They didn't want anybody to know what the actual street layout was. So they were intentionally printing maps that were wrong to deceive people. We have satellites now that can look everywhere in every country, and so these things can't be hid. But have man's books always been accurate? Are you sure the world isn't flat? A long time ago, there was a scientist by the name of Galileo, and he declared that the earth went around the sun, and he was excommunicated by the Catholic Church for making such a proclamation that the earth rotated around the sun. It's obvious, if you're paying attention, that the sun rises every day and goes down every day. The sun rotates around the earth. So, Galileo was excommunicated by suggesting something different. Man has been wrong before. Science books throughout time have to be updated and changed because they are man's words. Man's words are often wrong. The time of Sir Isaac Newton back in the 1500s, Ben Franklin in the 1700s, Thomas Edison in the 1800s, Einstein in the 1900s, all produced information that changed the way we think, the way we view our world. So we are continuously updating man's writings, because we find out that man was wrong, or man didn't know. Throughout all this period of time, the Bible has stayed the same, just the way it was written nearly 2,000 years ago. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3 reads this way. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Scriptures tell us that all things that we need to know to please God in the way that we live our lives has been given to us. There's a lot of things about our world we don't know, that we don't understand, and we may never totally understand. But the things that we need to know to please God, he's given. So in the late 1960s and throughout the 70s, Barbara Streisand was a popular singer, and she actually titled this song, The Way We Were. And it dealt with a love relationship. And one verse said, "Memories may be beautiful, but yet what's too painful to remember, we simply choose to forget." Isn't that right, Jason? So, if we do that with history and forget the things that are painful, we're bound to repeat history and make the same mistakes of the past. So today I'd like to look at the way we were as a family, the way we were before being a Christian, the way we were when we became a babe in Christ, and see if things have changed. Some things change in life, and that is good. Some things change, and it isn't good. So, what is what? In our family, our oldest son, Randy, when he was a little boy, we had a rocking horse for him. We had a record player. And a lot of the audience won't even know what a record player is, right? But he had this one kid's song, and I can't even remember the title of it, but he would get on that rocking horse. And he memorized those songs while he was on that rocking horse. But to the best of my knowledge, Rodney doesn't get on that rocking horse anymore. And I probably would have doubts that he remembers that song. He outgrew it. The way we were as a family, Ryan was born in 1977, far before cell phones. And all three of our boys had to be born C-section. And my mother and I, Ryan was born in the morning, and my mother and I went out to lunch. And we got back to the hospital, and nurse was waiting at the door for me. And said, "Mr. Engel, we need your signature right away. Your son has turned blue on us three times. We have to get him to the children's hospital. We need your signature for permission to move him." And I still remember the doctor's name that was the specialist over at Blank Hospital. His name was Dr. Sahu. And he came in the room and he says, "Mr. Engel, I'm going to be quite honest with you, your son has a 50% chance of being alive tomorrow morning. He has what's called hyaline membrane disease, and it's where the membranes inside the lungs aren't fully developed to absorb oxygen the way that they're supposed to." So all of us can look back in our history of our family and find moments that are traumatic, such as that, and how they change the way you look at life. Perhaps the days you feel so helpless, and you come to the realization there's nothing you can do to make it better. And you realize your need for God. That's the only place you can turn for comfort and for hope in times of distress. When the way things were out of your control. Now I'm going to go a little further back into my family history to where, and Suzanne's not here to appreciate this or defend herself, but there was a period of time where Mom had to go to work for a while, and Suzanne was left in charge to cook for us kids. And she didn't always cook the way Mom did. And my brother and I didn't approve of it. And so when she tried to sneak basil leaves into some of the things that she was making, my brother and I thought she was trying to kill us. And so we took some of these new things that my sister had decided to put into our food, and we took them out to the coal shed and hid them underneath the corn cob pile. So Suzanne couldn't put things in our food that we didn't have any experience with or any desire to experience. And Cindy was the baby of the family, and it was our perception. My brother and I felt like the baby never done anything wrong, and that there was favoritism shown there. And that's the way my brother and I thought we were. That was the family as we seen it at that time. I thank God on a regular basis that I got the opportunity to grow up on an Iowa farm. I feel so blessed to have been born into the Midwest in the kind of surroundings that Iowa provides. And so the stories I'm going to tell you here, I do not tell you in trying to get anybody to feel sorry, but especially you young ones, I want you to listen to this to make you realize you're in a totally different world from what some of us experienced growing up. I grew up in an old farmhouse that was 120 years old with no insulation. And if it was above 10 degrees outside, we might have running water in the house. But the only place we had running water was at the kitchen sink. So if you wanted warm water, you had to put water in a pan and put it on the stove or on the coal stove and heat it up if you wanted warm water. We did not have a bathroom until I was 12 years old. That old house never had a bathroom. So if any of you young ones can think about growing up without a bathroom, it would probably blow your mind and say that's impossible. But it isn't. And so we did not have a toilet. We had an outhouse. We had a commode, and so you got to choose the lesser of two evils there. And in the wintertime, if you wanted to take a bath, the only place that it was warm enough in the house to take a bath was to set up a couple of blankets behind the coal stove and make your own little bathroom. And that was the only place in the house you dared take your clothes off and get yourself wet. And you had a pan of water this size, and that was your wash pan, and that's the only way that you could take a bath in the wintertime. And so that's the way we were. And I didn't feel like I was being abused. I didn't feel slighted because I knew other people grew up the same way. But when my dad was able to buy the farm from his brothers and sisters after my grandma died, he borrowed enough money to build a new house. And I remember Cindy and I got to choose what we wanted to be the first out. So In the wintertime, I remember sleeping upstairs, and it would probably be maybe 10 or 15 degrees warmer upstairs than it was whatever the temperature was outside. And nobody had to tell me whether it snowed that night, because if there was any wind with the snow, it would be on top of my quilt, and it would blow through the windows. And you thought long and hard before you ever got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. Do you really need to go that bad? And, but like I said, I still thank God I got to grow up this way. I'm grateful for it. And so that's the way we were as a family growing up on the farm. Now, as I remember the way we were with our health, I remember when I used to run everywhere, even on the job. But now I've had both my knees replaced and I can't run at all. I remember the way I was. But I'm grateful that I can stand up here. I could stand up here for an hour and not have my knees hurt anymore because the advances in medicine allow me to stand without pain now, where I used to, before my knees were replaced, I couldn't stand more than 5 minutes. So I am grateful. Even though I can't run, I can stand and not be in pain. All the athletic honors I may have received in high school do nothing for me now, other than to give me memories of the way we were, of what I used to be. Now, I'd like for you to think of church and the way we were. I ran across something interesting this week. It's an old bulletin dated September 25th, 1988. Anybody remember who spoke that Sunday? All right, I'm going to review this bulletin with you. Lowell Herman had announcements. I had the opening prayer. Jason Brady was the song leader. Larry George had the New Testament reading. The offering was, the Lord's table was done by Brother Ron Bradford. How many remember Ron Bradford? Well, that's more than I thought. But that's a name we haven't said for a long time. And now here's something else different. There's a place on the bulletin here for helpers. Anybody remember when we used to have helpers for the Lord's table? Not too long ago, was it? Things have changed. They're not the way they were. And the helpers that day was Larry Brady, Bruce Harvey, Mark McClurg, and my father, Vern Ingham. The speaker that morning was Nelson Turnquist, and the closing prayer was Peter Kessler. Out of those 11 names I just read, 6 of them are not here anymore. Things aren't the way they were. When Joyce and I first got married, we lived in a trailer court here on the south end of Pleasant Hill. And I remember going about surveying people that lived in the trailer court and people in Pleasant Hill itself, trying to find interest in people that would be interested in a home Bible study. And at that time, Joyce and I was involved in a home Bible study with some people from the church, Pam Clemson and Paula Warren and some others. We would assemble once a week on one evening of the week. And that's the way we were. Today, most people won't even come to the door if you knock on their door. They only communicate by cell phone. or Facebook or whatever social media form they use. And I fear we have fallen into a comfort zone with fewer physical hardships in our lives, which are fine if they don't control our lives. Now, I want to tell you something that's changed about the building that many of you have never experienced. You know, this building didn't always have padded pews. Ori Brady, who is not, some of you have never even met, he bought all these cushions. Isn't that right, Larry? The way I remember it. But we can go back further, and there was a period of time when I started attending here where we didn't even have pews. We had seats that came out of an old movie theater made out of wood, individual seats, seats that somebody else had discarded. And those were the chairs that you sat in, and that's the way it was. And I also remember that we did not have air conditioning in this building for many years. And this atrium in the back was not even there where this clock is right now. John Sorensen put in a big fan up there, and that fan would be turned on to give us air into the building because we had no air conditioning. And that's the way we were. The laws of physics, laws of science, say that bodies at rest tend to stay at rest. And many of us are guilty of pulling out our phone, pulling up the games, social media, and we spend our day on our phone convincing ourselves that I'm busy. We didn't used to be that way. That's the way we are now. So be careful that you don't become a body at rest instead of the way we were. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 3 and 4, tells us that we have to become as little children, humbling ourselves as we approach God in order to please Him. In Acts, 22nd chapter, verses 3 and 4. Paul tells us a little bit about himself. I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And that's the way Paul was. But did he stay that way? He was made to realize he couldn't stay the way he was. He had to make a change and become something else. Paul also warned the church in the 20th chapter of Acts. Verse 29 and 30, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among your own selves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Paul knew that the church would not stay the way it was, that there would be people try to change the way the church was structured originally. And he urges them not to forget the way they were when he is gone. And he tells them that in Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 25, and indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. And he had to tell them, this is the last time I'm going to see you. The Lord has revealed this to me. And he had to try and encourage him to stay the way they were taught. First Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. This is the way a lot of the church, the people were before they become a Christian. But they had to break away from that and have that become part of their past and not let it continue to be part of their present. We have a song in our Red Books, number 605. It's called Just As I Am. And it tells us that's the way we come when we decide we want to accept Christ in our lives. We come as we are with our baggage. And we give ourselves to the Lord and we make change take place from there to be Christ-like. But we don't stay the way we were when we come to Christ. We have to have a history of what we used to be. Have you ever thought about the fact when you see a baby, how much different they are that first year than they are as they develop? Have you ever seen any 10-year-olds that are still carrying around a bottle, sucking on the bottle? Have you seen any 10-year-olds still wearing diapers or a mother that still spoon feeds them? The parents would be arrested for negligence if the child was a normal child and they stayed that way. We as Christians, after 10 years of being a Christian, need to be something different than the day we were when we gave ourselves to the Lord. Paul spoke about his frustrations about having to continue to give them milk when they should be eating meat. They hadn't developed. They still had the worldly problems they came to the church with when they were converted. When we are physically born into this world, we grow and develop into something else. We aren't the way we were the day we were born. And the same thing is true with us as Christians. We aren't the same way we were the day we gave ourselves to the Lord. We develop and grow into something else. We don't want a 10-year-old child that is still in diapers and on a bottle, and God doesn't want his 10-year-old new Christian not developing and still being fed milk either. I'm going to have to leave part of this out. I want to take you back in time briefly. 30 years ago, I got out of Globe because something changed in our world. A place that most of us had not even heard of changed our world. And surface-wise, it didn't have enough. It was only covering 25% of the area that Iowa does. It was a country, very small country, but it got the world's attention. Does anybody remember 30 years ago what that country was? What was that? No? Kuwait. Anybody remember Kuwait? Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, an oil-producing country, and started the United States to realize it could destabilize the entire world, and someone made a decision that we had to get involved. And so Kuwait was such a tiny spot on the world's map that most people had never even heard of it, but it was rich in oil. And Saddam invaded it and captured all its oil wells, and that started the first Gulf War. And Saddam threatened to bring the war to the United States if they got involved, and threatened germ warfare, implied germ warfare would come to the American soil. And so he made some very brash claims. A lot of them were not true. And he tried to gear his people up by telling them that he guaranteed any person in heaven who dies fighting the satanic Americans. And he threatened and promised an attack on Israel if he was attacked. And he did, with Scud missiles. We live in every period of time seems to have its new dangers. We have one present today. We have an open border to the south of us that is allowing anybody to come across. And there are some specialists that believe that it's imminent that some terrorist will sneak through and do some kind of attack on the United States that could possibly be more significant than what 9/11 was. So our world can change overnight, and we will no longer be the way we were. Are you prepared for the things that matter? So what does matter? How tough are you? What good will all the physical conditioning that we've done, running, lifting weights, what good will it do if we're not strong in the Lord? If we are still the same as the way we were when we were baptized, we may not be strong enough. Remember the stories of Job, how everything was, his life was tested. He lost everything. And his wife encouraged him to curse God and die, which he did not do. But I hope the strength that we have in the Lord is not merely a memory of the way we were. But I hope the strength we have in the Lord is still the way we are. Things change, some good, some not so good. But we have to develop ourselves that we not be as vulnerable as the way we were, but that we become a strength as the Lord was for us. I leave these thoughts with you. And if there's things that you need to change to make yourself right with God, we'll give you that chance as we sing an invitation song.